This podcast is supported by Emerson. At Emerson, we see smarter software delivering cleaner power. Our breakthrough technology enables the power industry to integrate renewable energy sources to modernize and improve the electric grid. Emerson, consider it solved.
Here's your money briefing for Friday, September 3rd. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. The pandemic has been rough on workers. Long hours working from home, endless Zoom calls, and a blurring of work and life boundaries that resulted in burnout for a lot of people. For some millennials who've been in the workforce for a bit over a decade, that burnout has boiled over to the point where they've decided to quit with no plan B in place.
I think the kind of workday creep and explosion of people's job descriptions also contributed to this and made people a little bit hesitant to find another role when they were already so burned out and dissatisfied in a present role.
Coming up, we'll chat more with the Wall Street Journal's At Work columnist Krithika Varagor about millennials who've had it with the stresses of pandemic work life. And we'll meet one 33-year-old woman who recently up and left her dream job with no current plans to look for something new. That's after the break.
This podcast is supported by Emerson. When you look at the critical issues facing our world, what do you see? We see breakthrough medicines getting to patients in record time and smarter software delivering cleaner power. We see access to fresh food being the global norm and our technology being the engine driving all of it. From vaccine production to integrating renewable energy to keeping perishable food safe across the cold chain, Emerson is there. Because creating a better world isn't just a result, it's a responsibility. Emerson, consider it solved.
We've talked on the show before about how the pandemic has changed the working world and how U.S. workers are quitting their jobs at some of the highest rates in years. Today, we're taking a deeper look and focusing on millennials, young professionals who started entering the workforce about 15 years ago, and some who are quitting their full-time jobs without immediate plans to move to another. In a moment, we'll speak with a woman from Washington, D.C. who did just that. But first, WSJ At Work columnist Krithika Varagor joins us to discuss the trend. Krithika, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks so much for having me on.
So, you know, Krithika, we've talked a lot on the show about how people are leaving their jobs at a high rate. But why are people, especially young people early in their career, why are they quitting with nothing to fall back on?
Well, a lot of young people, and we're not talking about the youngest members of the workforce, so it's not really Gen Z, but you know, solid middle-of-the-road millennials in their late 20s and early 30s who maybe have a few years of work experience under their belt and some savings in the bank are in a pretty good position to hit pause instead of just jumping immediately into another career. A lot of them felt burned out during the pandemic at their old job and realized how hard it is to leave once you're locked into a full-time role, so they're not in a rush to get into another one. And they have various reasons for this, but part of it is definitely optimism about the record number of job openings and the overall, you know, more favorable labor market for workers than we had last year.
Yeah, you know, the pandemic has really upended what we've known as the workplace.
Absolutely. And I think reporting this story made me realize that more than ever before. And it's had such a long tail. People are responding to burnout they faced maybe a year ago, more than a year ago, today by doing things like quitting so they could focus on a new job search in a totally new field full time, or maybe quitting so they can focus full time on their creative goals like writing or something like that. I think the kind of workday creep and explosion of people's job descriptions also contributed to this and made people a little bit hesitant to find another role when they were already so burned out and dissatisfied in a present role.
One of those people is 33-year-old Tessa Radin of Washington, D.C. She had her dream job overseeing programming at the Dramatists Guild Foundation until she quit in July with no set backup plan, all while pursuing an advanced degree. She joins us now to discuss what went into her decision to quit. Tessa, thanks for being with us on the show.
Thanks for having me.
So Tessa, when you were in your job at the foundation and you began to put your thoughts together about possibly leaving and knowing that you really didn't have a backup plan for another job, how difficult of a decision was that?
It was a long decision-making process, and it was a a journey with multiple steps. I felt myself becoming exhausted by the remote work. I found myself really gravitating towards what I was learning in my classes because I did enroll in that program prior to leaving my job. The idea of our offices reopening in New York, logistically, we still as a team hadn't really figured out. And so much of pivoting the work that I was doing to support online presentations of arts and online presentations of theater, trying to shimmy things around that had always brought me so much joy to adjust to an electronic world I knew wasn't working for me. But I think we all, you know, thought, knew, assumed that that would be temporary, and it kept going and going and going. There were other members of my team who were really feeling the same way, feeling that burnout. And so I think as a team, we were trying to devote great time and energy towards everybody's mental health and wellness, what working from home meant. And that sort of segued into the question of whether or not I liked what I was doing. And we were engaging in a couple of exercises as a team at the foundation, you know, solidifying job descriptions and what are our specific roles in this new pandemic reality. And I realized in trying to articulate what I did in my role that it wasn't making me happy anymore. And that was a very serious shock to the system. This was, again, my dream job. This was everything I had worked towards since, you know, I was 20, 21 years old. And when I realized my job wasn't making me happy anymore, it very much caught me off guard. But as soon as I had that realization, there was no other option but to walk away. I was not going to be able to get up in the morning and live a life that brought me joy and made me happy, knowing every day I was getting out of bed to do something that didn't make me happy anymore.
And when you felt the frustration and the exhaustion building in your previous job, did you make any kind of financial plan for when you would potentially leave your job at the foundation?
I definitely started looking at my bank accounts to see whether or not this would be a feasible choice. I was in school at the time, so I definitely had to account for the fact that that is something I was paying for. Because it's an advanced degree program, I was not eligible for the majority of loans. So taking a look at the academic side of my financials, really, I had to really dig deep and figure out if this was doable. But I think I know that my desire to start fresh and my exhaustion were superseding my concerns regarding the financial aspect of the decision, which could be considered as highly irresponsible. I figured I would figure it out along the way, and I sort of have.
So what are you doing in your free time, and how are you making ends meet?
Well, like I said, I'm spending some time in my graduate program. I'm studying education policy, and that was a shift that I was entertaining prior to considering quitting my job. That was a world after seeing the public school system and the Department of Education handle COVID, I felt really pulled to making a difference in that realm. So I'm studying, I'm doing well in my classes because I have time to do my homework. And when I'm not studying, I bartend across the street at my neighborhood restaurant. A lot of my friends have kids, so I really get to spend time with them and form relationships with these families that mean so much to me. And I live down the street from my brother, so sometimes I just hop over there and see what's going on uninvited most of the time. But I get to have a really healthy split of things that bring me joy on a personal level and things that bring me joy on a professional and academic level.
All right. That's Washington, D.C. resident Tessa Radin with us. Tessa, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks so much. It's been a pleasure.
You know, Krithika, being able to quit and reevaluate your career like Tessa did, that can be liberating for people, but not everyone has the financial footing to do that. And how would they prepare for that?
Well, I mean, most of the people I spoke to in this story acknowledged that they had some degree of privilege or certain socioeconomic factors that allow them to make this decision, whether that's a few years of savings in the bank or a partner who would let them go on their health insurance, which is one of the biggest things you lose when you quit a job, or just, you know, feeling young and somewhat healthy and like it's not the biggest risk in the world, which is a choice, but it's still in its own way a privilege to feel that way. So I'd say people who don't feel any of those things and don't have a lot of savings probably aren't going to be voluntarily quitting to take a hiatus like this. So it's a bit of a self-selecting group. That being said, even people who do have some financial advantages have to be careful because taxes and savings are not at all straightforward for freelancers or part-time workers or anyone in the gig economy. And that's a really big change. So one of the experts I talked to said, if you are considering a move like this, you should meet with a financial advisor sooner rather than later so you can think through how much you can save for retirement in absence of employer matching. Think through your options for health insurance because COBRA is pretty expensive, which is extending your current benefits, and really thinking about all of those things before you make the leap.
And so when you're ready to start looking for a new job again, isn't there a concern that a person who's been out of work is less attractive to a hiring manager than someone who already has a job?
I think that calculus went into people's minds as they decided to make this call. And I would emphasize that none of them are sitting at home, even after they quit their full-time roles. So I think that they're approaching it more as a transition period. So they would be able to explain, any of the people I spoke to for the story would be able to explain the gaps in their resume if they have one. For example, Tessa, who we just spoke to, is completing a graduate certificate right now. So that's obviously orienting her towards her next job. And another one of my sources quit to work on her writing full time. So if she pointed to whatever she wrote during this period, you know, that's obviously a lot of work too. And yet another source I spoke to has been working on, you know, getting kind of certificates and upskilling and getting a lot of concrete skills to add to his resume. And he had two roles at the university where he resigned from. So I think all of these people are making a calculated move not to drop out of the workforce. I don't think anyone I spoke to want to stop working forever. They just want a totally different, fresh start to their careers. And they, yeah, none of them seemed concerned about a gap in their resume given the way they're choosing to spend their time.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal at Work columnist Krithika Varagar. Krithika, thanks for joining us on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal.